Right, it's 5 p.m. It is Tuesday, 1st of March 2005, and this is the very first podcast on www.spirituality.org.za. My name is Dion Foster, and I am the host of the site, and I'll be the one who will be speaking to you in these podcasts, and hopefully we can get some interesting things going. The purpose of this podcast, and one of the things that we'll be looking to discuss and talk about, is theology, and particularly interesting developments in theology, and maybe even some theology and science. And then, of course, we're also going to want to talk a little bit about ministry. So I hope that you find this fruitful and useful. We'll try and throw in a couple of book reviews here and there, some sermon tips and ideas, talk a little bit about the state of the church in general, and maybe even say a few things that are a little bit controversial and try and get some feedback from that. Well, first up today, I want to talk a little bit about a book that I've started reading just recently. It's a book from the Willow Creek Association, published in South Africa by Straight Christian Books. And the author of the book is Bill Hybels, who is the pastor of the Willow Creek Community Church in Chicago, and the book was published in 2002 by Grand Rapids in Michigan, and it is entitled Courageous Leadership. Now, let me say, this is a book that every minister should read. You know, as my New Testament professor used to say, if you do not read this book, you cannot be saved. It's one of those books you should stick under your pillow and allow to influence you. Perhaps one of the most beneficial things about this book is that it really encourages leaders of local churches to restore again the hope that should exist in the power and effectiveness of the local church. And particularly as I think about my own ministry, it really encourages me to make the very best of the ministry that I have. Now, the book itself is just on 250 pages long, and that is broken up into easily readable sections. Let me say, Bill Hybels either writes well or is someone who writes well for him. The book is 12 chapters, first one dealing with leadership, then vision into action, so it's quite a practical thing. Communities, close to the leader's heart. The resources, the challenge, developing emerging leaders. Of course, it acknowledges that no true leadership activity could ever take place without the input of others and lifting others up. Keys to high impact leading in chapter 7. Chapter 6 is where leaders are at their best. Chapter 8, the sources of decision making, something that all of us who are in leadership positions need. The 360 degree leader, that particularly deals with that aspect of leadership that I think so many of us, particularly those who are clergy, struggle with, and that is the issue of managing yourself, managing your own time. And then chapter 10, leaders in prayer and allowing God to shape and mold and fulfill your spiritual leadership. Chapter 11 deals with the leader's pathway. And chapter 12, how to stay on course. Now, I really want to encourage you to read this book. If you are looking to buy it, you can contact Strake Christian Publishers at www.strakechristianbooks. That's one word, spelled Strikechristian Books, strakechristianbooks.co. And they'll be able to get you a copy of this book. Now, one of the things that I'll be talking about to our students at John Wesley College in Chapel on Thursday is harnessing their potential to become a part of a world-changing church. One of the things that Bill Hybels speaks of in his book is the fact that the church, the local church, truly is God's plan for the world. It's one of the ways in which God wants to unleash the potential of the world to bring about change. He recounts a wonderful story of how he was preaching one day in his church. I'm just quickly trying to find it here. And after the service, a husband and wife came to him to speak to him, and they asked him to pray with their baby, page 22 of the book. And as he took the baby in his hands and opened up the blanket, he realized that this child was completely deformed. And he asked what the name of the child was. The mother said Emily. And he was just so overcome. And after he had prayed with them and handed the baby back to her parents, he asked them, "Is there anything that we as a church can do to serve you during this time?" And this was the response of the father. He said, "Well, Bill, we're okay. We really are. We've been in a loving small group for years. Our group members knew about this pregnancy and the complications. They were at our house the night we learned the news, and they were at the hospital when Emily was born. They helped us absorb the reality of the whole thing. They even cleaned our house and cooked us meals and brought her home. They prayed for us constantly, and they call us several times a day. And they're even helping us to plan Emily's future." And then suddenly a whole group of people step forward and they say, "We always attend church together as a group." And you know, that picture of a church working, actually changing lives, is such an incredible thing to think of. You know, one of the things Bill Hybels says is that we very often look to other institutions in society to bring about change. We look at government and social organizations. But if we could just realize that God's purpose is that the church would be the agent that transforms society. I mean, think about this for a moment. A government can only operate within the mandate and resources that are available to it that come from the community. Government can never actually deal with the true root of society's problems. All they can do is manage resources to limit the impact of those societal needs and problems. And friends, I really want to encourage you today, if you're a leader in a church, if you're not in leadership yet and you have something to offer in leadership of a church, spend some time praying and asking Almighty God just to empower you, to give you vision, to show you how your church as a community can impact society in practical and real ways, through not only preaching the message of hope, but through making the message of hope real. Well, that's it for the first podcast for 2005, the first one ever, in fact. And I would encourage you to come back from time to time over the next month or so. I'll be spending some time in America and in England at Cambridge University and at Duke University, and then on to Garrett Theological Seminary in Chicago. I'll be visiting Willow Creek, and I hope to be able to post some thoughts and ideas and interviews from those places. So God bless you. Keep your prayer life active. Keep on loving Christ and seeking ways to transform and heal the world.